And the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. O great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee.
Well, good morning, church, beloved community. We're so glad you're with us here today. If you're visiting with us, we're especially grateful that you're here. And for all of those who are tuning in online, we're grateful for you as well. We're going to light the Christ candle now to once again remind us that Christ is with us today and always. If it's convenient, would you stand as we read from the Psalms? Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God. For in you I take refuge. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. The word of the Lord.
The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter, I will not faint. He is my shepherd, I am not afraid. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. He will uphold me all of my days. I am surrounded by mercy and grace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not waver walking by faith. He will be strong to deliver me safe. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. Hallelujah. to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Would you join me in reciting the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, women of God, His kingdom tarries long, but soon shall Christ bring in the day and end this night of wrong. Rise up, O child of God, the church for you doth wait. Your strength unequal to the task, but Christ in you is great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod. As followers of the Son of Man, rise up, O saints of God.
Please be seated.
Second Timothy 2:1-2. You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well.
If we have any Roots kids in attendance, now's your time to move to the table at the back where you'll have a time of activity and worship with us.
Well, most of you know Glenn Langston, but some of you may not. Glenn is a native Houstonian, born down in the Med Center. And when mom and dad went in to give birth, they thought they were going to have twins. They ended up with Glenn's brother dying. They were premature. And Glenn was given too much oxygen, the result of which is he has been blind from birth. Our Bible class has been talking about the parents in the Bible and how they may have felt about their children and the various things that happened to them. And I wonder how they felt after that blessed event they were expecting ended up quite like it was. And you're always concerned, will your children make it? Well, you made it.
Maybe.
Maybe, yes. If Ann doesn't kill you, you're
yeah,
all
that's right.
Right.
That's
all
right.
Glenn was the first student to go through the sighted program of HISD. They had a program for the blind at that point. He graduated from Bel Air High School with honors, went to Southwestern University in Georgetown, but he had trouble reading his textbooks. And so he hired a reader and ended up marrying her. You've been paying ever since, haven't you? Yeah.
Every month.
And Glenn and Anne spent time as missionaries in France and in Ireland, and he still goes back to Ireland every year. You have a little RV over there, or?
A little tiny house.
Yes. Well, I guess if you can't see where you're going, it's nice to have it all in reach.
Well, it's true. I don't mind the dark, so the electric bill is low.
Yes, yes. I remember a couple in Abilene, the Burfords, who did a lot of work. And when you went to see them, they would turn on the lights so the neighbors wouldn't get nervous. Because they were blind, it didn't matter to them. But Glenn has for the last, I guess, 20 plus years?
30? Yeah, 30, 93.
Been in Cairncrow, which I'm sure all of you have visited. It's one of the little communities out from Lafayette. And with the shortwave that he is a master of, and with the computer and Braille, he ministers to people all over the world. It helps that he speaks French and English and Cajun and Gaelic and who knows what all else. I know he reads Arabic because he left here to go to that country with his family. So talented fellow and dedicated to the Lord. And I need to mention that his sister Marla is with us today. Marla, glad to have you. She lives down in Kema, along with Glenn's mom. So Glenn, tell us about your work and bring us the message.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Now scoot over a little bit.
There we go. How's that?
You're okay. Good.
Good. I'm just going to put this down for a second here.
You can do that.
Here we are. Logistics, we have it now. Good morning, everybody. I always say it, but it's always true. Now, you always look as good as you did the last time I was there. But you know, that's really not false, because in God's sight, if we are following the Lord, we always look good. Absolutely. Thank you, Steve. I paid him a lot of money to say those things, and checks in the mail. I've known Steve for a good while. He knew me when I had a bit of hair. Every day I get up and I'm often in front of a mirror and I just pray, Lord, thank you that I can't see in that mirror, because as you get older, strange things happening. Our daughter, we have our first grandchild now, and she's a real blessing. She's 4 months old. And our daughter and her her husband are building a house at the back of our property on the street over. And they'll be a great help and blessing to us, and I hope that we will to them as well. And so it's about a 3-minute walk. And our daughter says to me, she says, Papa, we're going to put a rope either from your little office or from the house all the way to our house, and you can follow the rope. And she said, but if you come too often or stay too long, we're going to tie that rope off to a tree. So I'm waiting for the day, you know. It is a blessing to be in a church that I have known since 1963. And really 62, my parents were going here when they moved into Meyerland. And I want you to know that we are so grateful for the help that you give us, not just the financial help, but that's certainly important and valuable, but also the prayers. I know that many prayers go up for us. And you know, we all make mistakes, or we say things we didn't intend to come out that way, or whatever. You do that, and I do that. And it's so good to know that as a Christian, we are, if we just pray to the Lord, we're forgiven and do what we can to undo any damage we may have done. And that is a great consolation in this ministry. We've been doing mission work for since 1971. And this was one of the first churches to start to help us. We worked in France and Belgium, and I wasn't going to go into mission work. My parents wanted me to go into the diplomatic corps or be a lawyer broadcasting. Now, the broadcasting we have done some, not only in ham radio, but other networks and things. But when the first person that I met was baptized, and we helped to teach them, there is no feeling like that feeling. And I decided that's what I would like to do. After a while, I made that decision. Anne was with me 100%. Anne also sends her best regards to you. And I'm to give a short update, emphasis on short here, and a short lesson. I just want to tell you that we have introduced two new countries recently to Bibles. Fiji, we were there in October, and did interviews with the Fiji radio and television at their request. And we have had requests for Bibles, so far about 8 or 10 talking Bibles in Fijian, because we brought Bibles with us. We were in the South Pacific, and we had gone on, I guess you'd call it a 50th anniversary cruise, but I said, let's not make this just a cruise, let's do something that would benefit the gospel. So we gave Bibles in Samoan, Fijian, French, Polynesia, and had a wonderful time, had Bible studies on board, usually about 23 people there. And so it was a great blessing. And now it's beginning to pay off. And that's another thing that I say, that the Lord's word, and you know this, will not return to him empty. The old version says void, but empty is a modern term. And so right now we did that, and we're also, we just got some audio Bibles for Italy, and we're working with a girl or a lady over there, 27, who is going over to help for 2 years, and she will help distribute those Bibles for us. The work in Kenya and India continues, and in India, I'm thankful we built a baptistry. They were going down to the river to be baptized. And there were all sorts of wonderful snakes and bad things. And they asked, could we afford a baptistry? Well, you know, I was wondering how much it would be. It was about $1,500. It might be $15,000 here to build a baptistry. But they have used it over and over and over. The same group in the state of Andhra Pradesh in India, they used some Hindi, some Telugu, some, I think, Malayalam, some other languages. And they are now doing Bible campaigns. Well, we pay $50 a piece for the Bibles, the audio Bibles, but the Bibles that are that they're distributing are the same thing, and they're $9.50. So we know that when we send them the money, that's a big difference. And so they get blind people together who want to come, and they have a weekend of, they feed them, they show them what the Bible is, they tell them about it, they show them how to use the audio Bibles, and they're giving away 50 to 60 of those at a time. I know of 4 people recently who have put on Christ in baptism, so it's just, it's really good. I don't know how long I can continue at 74, but I honestly feel that as long as that we're doing the work that the Lord has for us to do, he will allow us to continue. And so that's just a very brief update. Let me just say this out loud. Some of you haven't seen our Bibles, but I was here a little over a year ago. Would you like me to just show you briefly again, or do we have enough people, or do you think everybody's seen them? What do you think? No? Okay, we will. We have one new Bible. We're sending them out in, we can get them in about 60 languages now. And we don't charge anything for these Bibles, whereas most of them online, they do. Now, I'm just going to ask this. This is one of our large print Bibles. And I'm going to ask somebody to come up and take it, and you can pass it around if you want to. Whoever is first can grab it. There you go. Thanks, Steve. That's the large print. You'll notice that the words are widely separated. You'll notice that the spacing is big and that the letters are big, okay? Now, what I'm going to bring out now is 1/37th of the Bible. That's 1/37th. If you want a real Bible to go to church, you have a wheelbarrow going down the aisle, you know. But that is a Braille Bible. Now, Braille is not a universal language. I wish it were. It would help a lot. But every language has its own Braille. And I do not read Chinese Braille. And I wish I could read Arabic Braille, Braille or Arabic of any kind, but I don't. It's an unusual language, and I'm not that gifted. But I do speak some of it, you know. And would you like to send that around? That's 1/37th of the Bible. It takes up about 4 or 5 feet of space. So that's Braille, that we give Bibles there. And then I won't pass these around because you've seen them and they're small. I did charge it up. That's a solar Bible. This is the one that we can get in over 60 languages. And now the headquarters for production of these is in Israel, of all places. It was in Florida, and now the company sold out or went under, whatever, and they're now doing them in Israel, so we deal with Israel in a different way now. This Bible reads a human voice, and I won't do that because we did that before. It just starts reading the Bible, and it's Max McLean, but there's a solar panel because we deal with so many countries where the electricity is either non-existent or where it is very, very poor. One of the things that we have, I've got way too many folders in this. I'm going to have to get another one because it's hard to find anything. There's too many dividers in here. But we have a little tiny Bible that, here it is. I get blinder every day. All right. Can you see this? It's tiny. And now you can only do the chapter and the book. But it reads out loud, and we get them in, again, 60 languages. It's not solar powered, so we send them to different places. I think that we cannot expect people to love the Lord and know Him completely until they have the scriptures. And I'm thankful that you are doing these things here. You're trying to teach. I know you have some outreach programs, and that we'll transition a little bit. I think the next class, the next hour, whatever, we have a class and we'll be talking about some things. So you'll feel free to ask questions. Just don't raise your hands, okay? Because I'm in schools. I speak in a good many schools, especially in Ireland. And I mean, you hear the little fingers of 5 and 6, 8 year olds. And they're, me, sir, me. You know. So we just want to talk for a few minutes about the verse that we read, and that was read so ably for us a few minutes ago. And it basically tells us that we must teach each other and that it must be passed on. And I think sometimes we forget that the church, not the Word of God, but the church can be lost in one generation if we don't teach. Think of all the places that there are or there were churches in the New Testament, and they do not exist now, or they exist in an extremely modified, very, very different form. You could go on and on, places in Turkey, for example, some places in Greece. And when I was in Corinth, you know, we visited exactly the places that the Apostle Paul was. And it's a great thing. If you haven't done that, try to do it. Makes it come alive because I can touch statues and so forth for me. But we've got to get the word out. And I love the song, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. And basically it's saying that brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore. God's mercy is bright. God's mercy is forever as long as this earth stands. And He beams it through Jesus Christ, His Son, but to us He gives the light along the shore. And then it says, let the lower lights be burning, send the gleam across the way. If our world and our nation ever needed anything, they need that gleam that is sent across the way of the saving power of Jesus Christ. Why? because it says in the next words, some poor struggling fainting seaman you may rescue, you may save. We are all sailing on the ocean of life. And we either accept the Lord or we go to face eternity without the Lord. Now that's not being cruel, but God is 100% pure. Some of you, I know I am, old enough to remember ivory flakes, 99.9% pure. Do you remember? Yeah? People nodding heads. Okay, there we go. I have to make sure you're here to hear some noise a little bit from you. But we all need that mercy. And that mercy is contingent upon us being God's instruments. There was a terrible car crash in Tennessee some years ago, and it tells there was fatalities and injuries, and there was a doctor, and he kept going up and down the rows of cars. I think it was a multi-car crash, and he kept saying, shaking his head and saying, my instruments, if only I had my instruments. We are God's instruments. He could have saved humanity any other way, but he chose to use his people to do it through the saving blood of Jesus Christ. And it's so sad that sometimes we don't realize that, and that God is the great guide. God is the lighthouse, but we are responsible for beaming the word. And that's why in the last verse, trim your feeble lamps, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness, may be lost. God doesn't want anybody to be saved, to be lost. But we also need to understand that not everybody will be able to hear, well done, my faithful servant, good and faithful servant. Why? Because God is, as I mentioned, 100% pure. He can't have the least bit of sin tainting his nature, his being, or he wouldn't be God. So therefore, he has made a way for us to get rid of sin through Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that once we are Christians, we can pray sincerely and do what we can, and we are forgiven. But until that time, we need to become Christians, to obey the gospel, to get the word out to other people that there is a Savior, that Savior will save, and the Bible says in Hebrews, to the utmost, to the uttermost. He will save them, and they don't have to put their head on the pillow wondering, because we're told in 1 John 5:13, these things are written, and he wrote them to Christians, that you may know that you have eternal life. And what a comfort that is to those of us of any age. If we are in Christ, we're told we're a new creature. But see, the sad thing is, we see so much apathy. I see it in the church. I know of about 3 congregations in the last 2 years that have closed. They're just lack of membership, huge budget problems, whatever it may be. But the bottom line is, people are not coming as they should. And how do we get them here? Well, I think we have to have programs that show them that we care. I think we have to show people that we're a Bible-believing church. I think we have to have networks of people where needs are. But just meeting people's physical needs won't get it. We've got to meet the spiritual need. And I'm going to be very frank with you. I don't have the answers to a lot of this. But I do know this, that our Lord says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. I know that in the scriptures, we read a fantastic thing in the book of Corinthians. And we're told that the person that endures to the end will be saved. And we're told these things. I believe that there is apathy because we may not be convinced that we're saved. I believe there is apathy because we may not be convinced that the lost are lost. I think there is apathy because people don't realize that eternity is forever. Now, people say, well, isn't God going to give us a second chance? He can. He's God. But we have no guarantee of that. The Bible doesn't guarantee that. So we have got to let our light be burning while there is the opportunity. Because the old hymn says, work for the night is coming when we work no more. And if we will do that, I think it will help cure some of the apathy. That's reading the scriptures, letting us know what salvation means, showing our young people, and that's the real basis of much of this, showing our young people that you don't have to throw your brains on the ground to be a Christian. I would urge you to read, or to go to the website, doesgodexist.org, doesgodexist.org. I think it might also be doesgodexist.tv. And that is an ex-atheist who is a scientist, and he was a very militant atheist, John Clayton, a friend of ours. We go and see him, and John's now in 83 or 4, but still active, still putting out audio journals and printed journals and all that sort of thing. And he has a series of brief lessons, like 28 minutes, that will convict you and help convince you and all of us that there is a God and that you don't have to put your brains in a tin can to be a Christian. So it does godexist.org. There's other things, Lee Strobel, but we need to give our young people evidence, evidence, evidence. Now, God's not going to knock us in the head and say, here I am. No, we have to take that step of faith, but it doesn't have to be a blind leap of faith. A blind leap of faith is what you have when you let me drive your car, okay? Oh, yeah. I almost wiped out a barbed wire fence not too long ago on a go-kart. However, God asks us to take a step of faith, not a leap of blind faith. And he has given us a huge amount of evidence on which to base that faith. And we know for a fact that the Lord wants people to be saved. That's why he sent his son. But I think we can help get rid of apathy. And then I want you to think on this as we close. And I don't know your spiritual condition, but if you need to obey the gospel or to renew, then that's something that we can certainly talk about. But I want you to think about this as well, if you would, please. No eye has seen, and no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Isn't that great? That is really wonderful. Thank you for having me. I may have gone over a little. I wasn't looking at my Braille watch, but I'm so thankful that we can be together. Thank you for everything you do to make this ministry possible.
Let's stand together as we sing. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb be praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we, the redeemed, shall be strong in purpose and in unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever. ever be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
At this time, we will share in communion, and as you do with Steve when he does this, I need help in distributing the emblems, and so after I say a blessing over the meal, I'd ask for volunteers to come help and distribute the emblems. Let's pray. Dear God, we live in a culture in which families are shaped primarily by the meals they share together. And Father, we are a community of people that are shaped because we gather regularly and faithfully to share in this meal together. Father, even though the portions may be small, we leave hungry. But Father, I pray that that hunger will be for your righteousness and that we thirst for your love and your presence. Father, may we be blessed in this gathering and this sharing, and may the emblems be blessed as well. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And as our practice, we use this occasion for us to contribute to the work at this place. Alex and Glenn will be passing these emblems following. At this time, you can put either your gift or the cards that you filled out earlier. And those who are with us online, you can give online, or you can mail in or deliver your gifts to the church office this week. Let's pray. Father, what a blessed congregation this is. Father, through the years, this congregation has responded faithfully and generously in returning some of the blessings that you shower on us. And Father, I pray that the money that is given today will be used properly to demonstrate your presence in this world and in this community. Father, may your work go forth from this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Steve, if you will, if you lead Glenn forward, I'm going to say a prayer, a blessing over him. You just thought you were through. You have to dismiss us after this.
I remember now that okay. Steve did write that to me.
Okay, I'm going to say the blessing for you, and then you're going to dismiss us.
Okay.
Huh? Oh, did I miss the family matters? I'm sorry.
Shall I wait here?
Well, the Thursday Bible class, we meet either in person at 10:30 in the conference room or 10:30 on Zoom. In our Bible classes today, you can see them. We have them for all ages, many adult options, and the locations are also listed. If you don't know where they are, and any of those classes interest you, just ask another member and they can lead you to the proper class. And now, as one of the missionaries that we support, I want to say a blessing over Glenn in his presence. Mm-hmm. Dear Lord, your disciples ask, why was this man born blind? And Father, that certainly resonates with Glenn. And Father, he has taken the opportunity to demonstrate your presence and your good works, not just in his community, but throughout the world. Father, thank you for the great work that you have done through him. Father, may we all be inspired to give more than we have, and following his example, realizing that the glory of life in Christ that's available to us here and now, that we seize that and do something with it. Father, I pray that he be blessed with providence in his older age. Father, that he may have the means to retire well. And Father, I pray that you bless him with continued good health, and that for Ann as well and his family. Father, may you gift him with the grace of experiencing the harvest from the seeds that he has planted. Father, I pray these all things in the Son, your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Just to say, and I don't think I did earlier, that Anne sends her very best regards. She had a wedding, and we both of us could have gone, but we said, let's divide it, because Steve Sargent had told me that they could use a speaker. And I hope I qualified, but anyway, Anne sends her very, very deepest greetings. She's with the church just a few years shorter than I am here. So let's just ask our Lord. Lord, we ask that you be with us. Lord, we bless this congregation and the members. And may the love of God and the strength of Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit give us peace, comfort, and strength in your love. Amen.